Good morning, everybody. We're all in a bit of a flat today, as you can probably tell. So this is an official D-flap time. Anybody else in a bit of a flat this morning? Yes? You've got a few honest people. Before we do anything else, let's pray. I don't think that's the dentist next door. Father, we thank you that you have brought us here today in various states of readiness, that you're ready for us. You're ready to bless us, to meet with us, to speak to us, to inspire us, to comfort, to strengthen and encourage. So we pray, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, come amongst us today and on all those listed to this service online. Amen. Just a couple of notices. Firstly, live streaming has been happening for a while on a test basis, but is sort of ready to go, I understand. David Redaway, who's isolating at the moment because Valerie's still waiting her op, came in earlier today to say that it's on, which basically means there's a camera up there which is focused on the front stage and a few backs of the heads of the front row. The reason I say that is just from a safeguarding point of view, just want the whole church to be aware that those cameras set are on the stage and just on the back of the people on the front row. Just so that, if it's of a concern to anybody, do speak to me and so on. But it's important that we know that. The details on how to access the service and so on will be made available very soon. But we thank David and everybody else who's been working, Ron and everybody else who's been working to get us to this point where those at home who are not able to join in the service or away on holiday or whatever can actually share in what we're doing here. So it's a great blessing. Just a reminder that at the end of our service, the live streaming will be turned off, and then there will be an opportunity if you'd like someone to pray with you. Perhaps God's been speaking something particularly in the service, or maybe during the week, and you want somebody to pray with you, then we will have members of the prayer team available to come and pray with you. A number of our prayer team members are currently serving refreshments and other things and other duties, and we have asked, we do really need more help doing some of those tasks to release our prayer team. So if you think, oh yes, I could help do that, do have a word with Debbie on the refreshment side, or again speak to myself. Mark and Jackie are not here today because Mark has an operation on Tuesday. It'd be really important to pray for them, to bless them as they come to that time. Lastly, we'll be hearing more about this next week, but you may see some adverts coming up on the sides of buses and other places. Try praying. It's a Christian outreach to encourage people to try praying. We're going to be having some of the booklets for children, young people and adults here to give away to people. But right the way across the bay, Exeter has been doing it, it's right the way across the bay here. There'll be a campaign over the next month to encourage people to try praying. And there's some materials, very good materials, been written to help people start praying. And you know what happens when you start praying? God starts answering prayers and things start to happen. So that will be coming up. I'd like to start our time of worship reading a few verses from Psalm 19. We'll be hearing more of the psalm later during the service. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth. their works to the ends of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. It's like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run its course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. What message are the skies telling us? Many things. But one thing they tell us is the Lord is beautiful. The sunrise, the warmth of the sun. Last night, Les and I went out into the garden and saw the most beautiful moon and the stars. Day after day, night after night, creation is shouting a message to us. The Lord is beautiful. So our songs today of worship focus on the beauty of the Lord. As usual in our worship time, please feel free to sit or to stand, to pray, to be silent.
I see your face.
are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depths of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above. Amen. Please be seated. Be good now if the stewards could wait on us for our offering, another way of worshiping the Lord. Father, we thank you for your gifts to us that are unlimited. Thank you for this opportunity to give just a small part of what you've given to us back to you. Multiply these gifts, we pray, that many will worship you. Many will give their lives to you as you've given your life for them. Amen. Right, Louise, could you come this way, and Mark, come this way. Oh, he's here. I wonder where he was. Go on about, that'll be about the first step. That'll be all right. If you turn that on. If you could turn that on, Mark, do you want to come this side? Because we're sharing a microphone between the two of us, so that'd be great. Good. Excellent. We've got the... The names, but yes, I wrote them, and they are right. Good. We had last week, we had the privilege of welcoming Rod and Jilly into membership. And we usually do a communion service if we can. Louise and Mark weren't around last week, but they're here now. And so we had the opportunity to a double blessing. Last week we're welcoming, and this week we're welcoming. And coming into membership of a church, for a Baptist church, is very, very simple. It's simply a matter of saying, yes, we believe that God has called us for this time, for however long, we don't know, to be part of this church family. You can back out now, by the way, as you're looking at them, just in case. But that's it. It's as simple as that. And we now, because Mark and Louise are here, are a different church. And we're a blessed church, greatly blessed. We're blessed with you, and I believe you're blessed with us. And that's the way it works. That's the way it works. It's not being proud, it's being truthful. I hope you're a blessing to Mark and Louise. Are they a blessing?
They are.
Yep.
Oh, that's all right then. Good. So, there's a form for you each. Well, you can do that one. So, in terms of becoming a member, it is very simple. And if anybody wants to talk about becoming a member of the church, do please see me afterwards. But right now, we're just going to ask you to confess your faith and your belief that God's brought you here. And then we're going to ask some questions of the congregation as well. So, do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? your creator and redeemer, and the sustainer of all things.
We do. This is the God in whom we trust.
Do you believe that God has led you to share in the worship, life, and witness of this local congregation?
We do, and we thank God for the gift of fellowship.
Will you share with us the gifts God has given you, that together we may serve God in our local community and in the wider world?
We will. All we have is given by God.
As members of a Baptist church, we covenant together as a community of disciples of Jesus Christ. Baptized into his name, we share the joys and responsibilities of fellowship. We gather for worship and to discern the mind of Christ. Together we seek the kingdom of God through prayer, witness, and service. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, we seek to build one another up in love. Will you share with us in this common life and service? And will you walk together with us before God in ways that are known and yet to be made known?
We will. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. And now we can have our questions. Church members, congregation, do you welcome Louise and Mark into the membership of this worshipping community?
We do. This is our joy and our calling.
God has given us the gift of this brother and sister, and through them he has given us gifts for ministry in the life and witness of this congregation. Will you support Mark and Louise in their Christian service and in the responsibilities of church membership?
We will. Thanks be to God.
Will you pray for Louise and Mark and encourage them through hospitality, friendship, and support?
We will.
Amen. Got the opportunity now to pray for you, and I've asked David and Dee, if they'll come up, two of our deacons, to pray for you. They're going to lead us in prayer, but if God gives you a word, gives you a prayer for them, please shout it out. That'll be lovely.
Oh, Heavenly Father, we're so gracious to you for bringing Mark and Louise into our fellowship. We know, Lord, that we'll be a different church, but a stronger church to go out into the world and preach your word to others that don't know you yet. So, Lord, we just commit Mark and Louise to you, and we are blessed to have them with us, and we're so grateful. So, Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you would bind us together as a family, that you would use us mightily in your kingdom and for your kingdom's sake. So we ask all these things as you bind us together in love, to love one another and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ amongst our town and the wider world. But Lord, we just thank you and we praise you for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Holy Father, we thank you for Mark and Louise, and we pray, Lord, that you continue to anoint them with your Holy Spirit, that they may do your will, that we may see your kingdom come and your will be done in their lives and our lives. Amen.
And we welcome them as living stones into this building of faith. Lord, will you make them an integral part of this church fellowship? And we look forward to sharing with them together in the future days, in confidence, Lord, that this is all part of your greater plan. Amen.
Father, we thank you for Mark and Louise, and we pray for a fresh anointing, as David has prayed, a fresh anointing of your Spirit. We know that they have served you in many ways in the past, but this is a new season, a new time, and you are doing a new thing. And you're giving us the responsibility to encourage them, to give them space to minister and to grow. And we do it joyfully. Amen. Right, Mark Louise, your opportunity to say anything you want to say to these guys. For the sake of the people listening, could you explain?
I just want to share something about stones, actually. I felt prompted this morning. It's interesting that we started with Psalm 19, you know, that talks about creation, speaking out, you know, God's glory. So nature, God's creation, are living stones in their ability to pour forth his praise and his glory. If you read in Luke 19, which is what I was prompted to just look at, that's where Jesus says to the Pharisees that if they don't, i.e. his disciples, if they don't pour forth my glory, then the stones will cry out. It's interesting that the stones are going to cry out anyway, because Psalm 19 tells us that creation pours forth God's glory. But we, just to bring it back to this morning, we absolutely recognise we're being built as living stones into a living building, because we individually and collectively, you know, are God's temple. That's the building we are together. So just recognise that this morning.
I don't think so. For once, I've not got much to say. Yes. Make the most of it.
Round of applause for our two new members. Thank you. Bless you. It's all about blessing today, so now we're going to bless our children who are going out with Debbie and Dee, is that right? And Charlie. Charlie's hiding at the back there. So it's going to be a good time. And we've got Zeb and Noah and Connie, is that right? Great. Oh, and Harry. Father, we thank you for Zeb and Noah and Harry and Connie and Matthew. We thank you for all the children that you bring to us and who are part of this church family. We pray you bless them and Debbie and Dee as they share your word together. Amen. Amen. Off you go. Colin, you're a 91-year-old child. You stay put. Before we come to God's word, it seemed appropriate to sing this particular song, which is also addressed to our beautiful Saviour, our beautiful Lord. And the words will be obvious as we come to them as to why we're doing this one now. Feel free to sit or stand. Wonderful Savior, wonderful Shore, could Liz and Jean and Peter come up, please? Become our practice to pray for those reading the word as well as preaching the word. So we gather them all here together. Father, we thank you for the gift of your word that we're holding in our hands. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would make it come alive in our hearts and minds through Liz and Jean and Peter. Amen. Thank you. Liz, if you'd like to start. Thank
you. A reading from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. Salt and light. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven.
And this is John chapter 2, beginning at the first verse. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 80 to 120 litres. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so. And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine, after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him.
Thank you, Liz and Jean. Thank you. Over to you, Peter.
Is that all right? Okay, fine. I'll try. Good morning, everyone. It's good to be with you again. I know why Ken wanted to leave. He knew I was coming on soon. So I don't hold it against him, I promise you. Down the years, some pretty harsh things have been said about the body of Christ, the church. Here's two of them. This is what Mahatma Gandhi had to say. "I like your Christ. I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ." And G.K. Chesterton said, "The Christian ideal has not been tried and found wanting. it has been found difficult and left untried. We have to ask ourselves the question, are we radically different from the society in which we live? Or are we perhaps just a slightly better version of it? We are required to be salt and light, to be as different as Jesus was. If our light cannot be seen, or we lose our saltiness, then we serve no useful purpose for God, those around us, and indeed ourselves. As regards where we fit in society, the safest place is to be in the middle. If people think we are getting above ourselves, they will try and knock us down. This happened to Jesus when he was in Nazareth, where, of course, they all knew that he was the son of Joseph the carpenter. When Jesus told them a few home truths, they didn't like it and tried to kill him. You can hear them saying, "Who does he think he is?" But if we fall below the standards society sets, we are looked down upon and condemned. And Jesus experienced this. The Jewish leaders accused him of blasphemy and decided to have him done away with. Being a Christian is no guarantee of popularity, and we won't necessarily be thanked for standing out from the crowd, for being different. We hear a lot about British values these days, but there's much that I don't like about our society. And one of my favourite sayings is, whatever it is, I'm probably against it. And I love it when the Archbishop of Canterbury is criticised by politicians for standing up for what he believes in. As far as I'm concerned, Justin Welby is doing his job, and good for him. The standards we see around us should not be our standards. And let's take a look at an advert for a job. Are you ambitious, thrusting, demanding, a high achiever? Someone who will not take no for an answer? Or do you set demanding targets and insist that they are met? Can you be ruthless when you have to be? Someone who doesn't suffer fools gladly. Do you allow nothing to stand in your way? Well, if you can answer yes to all these questions, you could be the next Baptist minister that we have been looking for. And now you know why Stephen got the job. Always know where the exit is, by the way. Seriously, it doesn't work, does it? It's about as far away from the teaching of Jesus as you can get. We have to follow him and not the ways of the world. In essence, two things are required. We have to seek God and to receive all that he has to give us. Then we have to serve him faithfully. But we cannot give what we have not ourselves received. Being a Christian is a full-time occupation, and there are no part-time posts available in the kingdom. Coming to church on a Sunday and ticking the box on its own will not do it. Above all, our priority must be to love God and to seek his company. Serving God is important, but first and foremost, God wants us to enjoy a relationship with him. Doing can be easier than being. Jesus commended Mary for wanting to spend time with him rather than helping her sister Martha with the chores. He said, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, But only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Professor Ronald Boyd MacMillan, who is a senior member of staff with Open Doors International, put it beautifully when he wrote this. We were created first for fellowship and only secondarily for service. How sad it is that so many of us work in the garden for the Creator, but never walk through the garden with the Creator. The invitation to walk with God in his garden, save the persecuted, is one we must pay any price to accept. So what can help us to build that relationship with God? We cannot, of course, earn our salvation. That is a gift from God. But there are things that we can do to help ourselves. Paul encourages us to focus on things that are wholesome and not worldly values. In Philippians 4, verse 8, we read, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." And the truth is that what gets our attention gets us. Following Pentecost, we read in Acts 2, verse 42, that the followers of the risen Jesus devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And that's a pretty good example for us. There's some things that will be helpful to us, and they're all pretty obvious. We need to attend church as often as possible. We need to be an active part of the body of Christ. And read the Bible. Brother Andrew, the founder of Open Doors, would often hold up a Bible like this, and he would say to his audience, "Do you love this book?" And he only expected to get one answer. We all need to indulge in serious Bible study. It's also helpful, I believe, to use daily Bible notes. I use these, Life with Lucas, written by Jeff Lucas, and I always start my day by reading the Bible passages and Jeff's notes. I admire Jeff's humility and his honesty. And there are many similar Bible notes available. We need to pray, have set prayer times, but also pray anywhere and at any time that you like, whenever the need arises. Attend prayer meetings. In my opinion, these are the beating heart of the church. Read Christian books. There's so much that we can learn from other Christians. And listen to Christian music and radio. Attend life groups or discipleship groups, because this is where we can learn and build each other up. Discipleship groups will be starting soon here at Paignton Baptist Church, so please consider joining one of them. And attend Christian events or festivals. I love going to Lee Abbey, the Christian Holiday and Conference Centre in North Devon. I'm going twice this year because I benefit in body, mind and spirit. And speaking of Lee Abbey, Stephen knows all about the benefits of being at Lee Abbey because he was there only 1 month ago with a bunch of, an esteemed gathering of Baptist ministers who were attending the Southwest Baptist Association annual ministry retreat. I've been reliably informed that Lee Abbey has now recovered from the experience and that all breakages have been paid for. Moving swiftly on, I want to emphasize that we need to immerse ourselves in the things of God. People may well say they haven't got time for all this, especially when EastEnders is about to start. But we may also need to declutter. It can be a case of prioritizing, because we can usually find time for the things that matter most to us. The French writer Voltaire said something quite profound when he said, "The best is the enemy of the good." And what he meant was that something might be good, but it may have to give way to what is best. Of course, it's not all about being busy, busy, busy. We can relax and enjoy ourselves, of course. Jesus enjoyed socializing and encouraged his disciples to come away and take time out. When I met my future wife, Anne, I wanted to spend as much time in her company as I could. I must confess, I was hopelessly in love. One Saturday, there was a sponsored walk across the whole of Anglesey, and Anne was taking part. I decided to do the same, and then I discovered it was the date of the FA Cup final. Something in those days that I would never miss. What was I to do? The answer was simple. I went on the sponsored walk because being with Anne was far more important to me than watching football. As we build our relationship with God, he will ask us to serve him, but it is in that order. He will ask us to give our time, our talents, and our treasure, all that we have to offer. James 2, verse 26 says, "As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead." John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, said the following: "Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can." I believe giving is an act of worship. Freely, freely you have received. Freely, freely give. And sometimes it can be costly. God may ask us to give sacrificially, but the impact can be profound. When Brother Andrew felt called to smuggle Bibles into Eastern Europe, a Dutch couple gave him their brand new VW Beetle. They did so gladly because God asked them to. This made Brother Andrew's ministry possible. And millions of persecuted Christians have been helped and supported by Open Doors as a consequence. I've tithed nearly all my life. And when I got married, Anne and I agreed that the first 10% of our income belonged to God. We gave to our church and a number of good causes that were important to us. Well, I kept an eye on the overall finances and was in charge of our giving. I was the sole breadwinner when our son James arrived, as Anne stayed home to look after him. And this was something that, with the cost of housing, etc., most couples would find very difficult to do today. We always had enough money, but some months were better than others. You know what it's like? Sometimes you get those unexpected bills and they have to be paid. I remember when our mortgage went up to 15% and we didn't have an awful lot to spare. One month we did quite well with our income versus expenditure. And I told Anne that we'd made a good profit that month. She promptly told me that we were behind on our giving. I groaned and said something like, "Oh no, we were doing so well." I felt ashamed of myself, and rightly so. We then got up to date with our giving, and I'm glad we did. Since then, I've never had any difficulty when it comes to giving, especially when I feel prompted by God. It isn't that difficult. And many years later, when our financial circumstances were much improved, I became aware that a Christian brother and his family were in financial difficulties. I remember standing in the bedroom and sounding off as usual. I said to Anne that what was needed was for a few Christians who had the means to dig a bit deep and solve the problem. And it was as if a voice said to me, "Well, get on with it then." I obeyed and sent Fred a check in the post. I learned much later that when he and his wife opened my letter at the breakfast table, they burst into tears. I can have this effect on people at the best of times. But please believe me when I say that I'm not saying this to sound off. I was simply being obedient. God will not ask us to do something that we cannot do, and I was well able to help Fred and his family. We need to be on the front foot. There's a good definition of this which appeared in the Sun newspaper a few years ago. I quote, "We go out on the front foot and see where this takes us." Now, I hasten to add that the Sun is not my usual reading matter. And I found this quotation on the internet. And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Mind you, I did enjoy an edition of Porridge some years ago when Fletch, Ronnie Barker, he was laid up in hospital and he was asked if he wanted anything. And he replied that he would like a copy of The Sun. And then he added that he also wanted something to read. There's two Christian quotations that have been used out of context and therefore misunderstood. The first is "Don't wrestle, just nestle" by Corrie ten Boom. And the other is "Let go and let God" by Norman Vincent Peale. Both quotes are encouraging us to trust God in every aspect of our lives. Neither was intended to persuade us to sit back and do nothing. To use a nautical metaphor, it is good to spend time in harbour, but we can't stay there. In the words of a modern hymn, "A ship that's in the harbour is still and safe from harm. But it was not built to be there. It was made for wind and storm." At the very beginning of each day, it's good to ask God to use us, to give us opportunities to serve him. Many may say this is difficult because they can't do much or they can't get out at all. Many years ago, I attended Brixham Baptist Church. And I heard about this elderly lady who was housebound. And she was unable to attend the church. However, she had a wonderful and powerful prayer ministry and spent a considerable amount of her time each day praying for people and causes her church that were important to her. You see, God used her despite her circumstances. If we are limited in what we can do, we can pray for people, perhaps telephone them, send them a text or email of encouragement. If we ask him, God will put people or causes on our hearts. We need to look for opportunities. A quote from Jeff Lucas: "I do know that God does odd things at times. That's not a license for craziness. But when we feel nudged by the Holy Spirit, and careful consideration suggests that we are on track with being a part of something that God is up to, we need to get with his program. I've been greatly influenced by this book by an American Christian called Claire de Graaf. And by the way, Claire is a man, not a woman. The title is The 10-Second Rule, Following Jesus Made Simple. Yeah. It's a short and easy read. The premise is that when we believe God is asking us to do something, we should do it within the next 10 seconds or the chance may be lost. The five foundational principles are as follows. One, when you're reasonably certain God is asking you to do something, do it immediately. Procrastination is not your friend. Two, the rule doesn't require that you be absolutely certain an impression is from God before you obey. The need for certainty is often the enemy of obedience. Three, the rule gives you a place to begin again following Jesus, right now and whenever you find yourself drifting spiritually. Four, the more you know about the character and teachings of Jesus Christ, the more confident you'll become following him. And five, Christian character is shaped less by your big, dramatic decisions than by the cumulative impact of thousands of small acts of simple obedience. In the book, Claire de Graaf tells the story of a young mother in America who was struggling to pay for her shopping at the supermarket checkout. It looked as though life had not been kind to this woman. She had three young children who were proving difficult, and then her credit card was refused. She'd reached her credit limit. The woman tried to find enough cash, but she didn't have it. At this point, another woman who was next in the queue stepped in, and she paid the bill for the lady using her own credit card. When the two got outside, the woman with the three children asked her benefactor why she had paid the bill. And this is what she replied. "I'm a Christian," the woman said simply. "As I stood behind you, I sensed that God was telling me to pay for your groceries. So I did. Simple as that. Since everything I have belongs to God anyway, he paid your bill, not me. Just thank him, if you'd like. I hope you have a great day." And with one last smile, the woman turned and walked away. On a far more modest scale, a while ago, I was walking through Palace Avenue in Paignton, as you do, and a lady seemed to be struggling with paying for her parking. Approached her and asked me if I could change £20 for her. I probably could have done, but I didn't want to lose all my change. So instead, I asked her how much cash she actually had. It turned out that she was 30 pence short. So I gave her the money she needed. It's no big deal. But this came about because I was on the lookout for anything that might come my way. Doesn't have to be about money. I went shopping in Sainsbury's recently. Not my favourite occupation. I'm okay till they move things around. And then I am lost, and this seems to happen every flipping time I go there. On this occasion, the lady who served me at the checkout was really nice. My rule is, if they greet me before I greet them, they've got it right. I told her that I'd been a customer care training one time, and there was nothing I could teach her because she was that good. I invited her to tell her manager I'd said so. Now, the lady's face lit up. She looked so pleased I might even have made her day. It didn't cost me anything. I simply felt the urge to compliment her, and I did it. Many years ago, I underwent street pastor training in the Cross Link Hall in this church. And Tony Williams, the pastor at Living Waters Church in Paignton, took one of the training sessions. I'd recently started as a volunteer speaker for Open Doors and was on the lookout for speaking opportunities, which were hard to come by. After the training session was over, I felt compelled to approach Tony and ask him whether or not I could come and speak on behalf of Open Doors at his church. I didn't know what kind of reception I would get, but I knew that I couldn't go home without speaking to him. It turned out that he was an Open Doors supporter. And the upshot was that I spoke at Living Waters every year for the next 8 years. Carpe diem, seize the day. It doesn't always pay to get to Paignton Baptist Church too early. Although you can get a good space in the car park, you might find yourself volunteered for something by the minister. Now, a week or two before Christmas 2022, we had a nativity play at the morning service, and Stephen asked me if I would be prepared to dress up as a wise man. Now, this caught me rather on the hop, because I like to have time to think things over. My spontaneity has to be very carefully rehearsed. So I politely refused. Now, Stephen was very good about it, which of course made it worse. Why do people have to be so nice sometimes when you don't deserve it? It shouldn't be allowed. What do they teach them in Bible college these days? Baptist pastors will be preaching about forgiveness and the love of God next. Anyway, I sat down feeling guilty and somewhat ashamed of myself, and I deserved it. However, a few minutes later, Stephen announced that he still needed a volunteer or two to dress up as a wise man, and I knew what I had to do. Richard Bunker, I'm glad he's not here this morning, trussed me up like a turkey. Well, it was Christmas. Or should I say a peacock? And I did my best to look the part. Actually, I quite enjoyed strutting around, trying to look important. I was given a second chance to do the right thing. But you don't always get that. By the way, I would quite like to have been, instead of a wise man, King Herod. I wouldn't have needed to do any acting. Just be my normal, smiling, happy self.
I've made a note of that, Peter.
Only trouble was, he wasn't in the play. Make a note of that, yeah. Incidentally, just before Christmas last year, I went to Barton Baptist Church to renew acquaintance with some good friends that I made during my 4 years there. It just so happened that Barton were putting on a nativity play. I expressed surprise that this was possible, and I was asked why I thought that. I replied that I didn't see how Barton Baptist Church could find three wise men. It's strange, but appreciation of this jibe seemed to be somewhat muted. A quote from Charles Spurgeon. Hang this question up in your houses. What would Jesus do? And then think of another. How would Jesus do it? For what he would do and how he would do it may always stand as the best guide for us. Jesus' call to come follow me hasn't changed in 2,000 years. The 10-second rule isn't a new command. It's simply an easy-to-understand, to-the-point reminder of what it actually means to be on this journey with Jesus, to be led by him day by day, minute by minute, or even in the next 10 seconds. If you'd like a free copy of this book, come and see me afterwards. I've got plenty of copies. I've also got printouts of the 10-second rule, 5 foundational principles, which I read out. Just a brief summary to give if you want that. It emphasised the importance of Bible reading earlier. And Stephen talked about this at the evening service last week. He recommended this book, How to Read the Bible. How to Read the Bible so that it makes a difference. Again, lots of copies available if you'd like one. The books are all free of charge. Jesus' first miracle was when he changed water into wine at a wedding in Cana in Galilee. The story is familiar to us, and the problem was, of course, that the wine had run out. And this would have been a major embarrassment to the hosts. Mary, his mother, wanted Jesus to rescue the situation. After speaking to her son, we read in John 2, verse 5, his mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. I can give you no better advice. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Peter. Let's just have a moment of quiet to give ourselves a moment to respond. Then we're going to have a couple of songs to come close to God. What Peter said was really important, that fellowship with God comes first, and then serving. Coming into his presence, enjoying his presence, knowing his love, and then his senses. Getting used to his voice, so when he speaks, we can respond. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we come into your presence. Help us not to be afraid, but to know that you are good, and when you speak to us, it is for our good and for others' good. Help us to be ready to do what you tell us to do. Amen. Feel free to sit or stand for these two songs, As the Deer.
Plants for the waters of my soul, I'll tell you.
All I once held dear, built my life upon. All this world reveres and wars to own. All I once thought gain, I have counted loss, and worth spent and worthless now, compared to this, knowing you, Jesus. And glory. Amen.